Well, let's open to Jeremiah 29:11, the verse that I probably butchered just a few minutes ago. Jeremiah, toward the end of the Old Testament there, along with the rest of the prophets. Well, I think we kind of accidentally started a series last week, Following Christ. I'm not comfortable with just falling into a series. I like to kind of know where it's going, but I just think this is where we are. This idea of following Jesus and getting that flavor, getting that flavor from Jesus himself in the gospel of what it means to follow Christ. But particularly the topic today is that God has a plan for you, as we discussed with the kids, the same basic thing they're talking about today. But let's read this verse. And for you Bible scholars, I know some of you will think, if you've been trained correctly, hopefully you have, you'll say, well, what are you reading? It's a promise out of the Old Testament. Does that apply directly to us? Does that promise apply to us? And that's a legitimate question. When you read a specific promise in the Old Testament, you should say, who is this to? And what is the application of this promise? That's what you should ask when you are reading through things in the Old Testament. Is this a promise specifically to the people of Israel? And does it apply to me? And what does it reveal to me about the character and the nature of God? So, this is a promise to the Israelites. But it does tell us something about God's attitude towards His people and towards the body, towards believers, towards His children today. And we'll read some New Testament verses that back this up. But still, I think this gives a flavor for where we're headed. And like I said, this does apply. This does apply to us, and hopefully we'll prove that. But we recognize that this was written specifically to Israel at this time. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Now, we're going to look at this, and this will take a couple of weeks to cover this. The plans that God has for you. Why do you think horoscopes are so popular, even with people that don't really believe them? People want to know what's coming next. People want to know what's in store for them. People want to know what direction to take. But obviously that's looking in the wrong place. God has a specific plan for you, and He has a specific plan for this body. And those two interact. So we'll look at it in the context of God's plan for you. And we're also going to talk about, maybe not so much today, but we'll talk about some about God's plan for this body and how we are, what is our plan to fulfill the things that God has put in front of us. So first, let's do a review from the things we talked about last week. Following Christ, forsaking all and following Christ. Part B on your outline there. We looked at some common traits of the call to follow Christ. And in Matthew 4:18-22, I won't read all of that. That's when Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee and He's calling His disciples. He's calling a few of them right there to come and follow Him. And there's some characteristics as you trace this all through the Gospels where Jesus will give this call to people. Come and follow me. Come with me. And there are some things that go along with that call we see repeated. And those are the things we want to pay attention to. One is that He asked them to leave. They had to leave their boats. They had to leave their careers. They had to leave their family. They had to leave something. They had to leave behind their old life. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean for every single person we get up and we go somewhere else. But it does mean that we have such a connection to Christ that it is above and beyond, so far above and beyond everything else. And then when we connect to others, it's through Christ. When we love others, it's with His love. So the reconnection is all the better. But still, there is a leaving. And the other thing that you'll see throughout this is that, Jesus said to them, come with me, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And it took me a while to catch this, But I see this similar phrase repeated over and over, and it's that they had to take on His cause at their core being. Not only did they have to identify with Christ, like in later on in Acts and the rest of the Romans, that identify with His death, burial, and resurrection, they had to identify with His core purposes. The purposes of Christ, they had to take on as their core purposes. Not just add them to their life, but trade out and take on His core. Now, this is huge. This is a huge, it's a major transformation. We can be Christians for years and not really make this switch to where our core purposes match the purposes of Christ. So, however far down the road you are in walking with Christ, pay attention that there's not some core values that need to be switched out. And we looked at Peter, one man willing to take a risk in responding to the call. Risk is another thing involved. It always feels like risk that you're taking a chance when you respond to God's call, when you respond to the call of Christ to follow Him. We're specifically thinking about when Peter stepped out of the boat, when Jesus said, come, and he stepped out of the boat onto the water. And then in Luke 9:23, where it says to take up your cross daily, that following Christ means heeding the call every day. And we looked at that where you wake up in the morning and it's, am I going to follow Christ today in everything? Heeding the call daily. And then let's go to this next verse as part of our review, Luke 9:57. You can notice the three men here that he is saying to follow me and their response. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. Now, we won't go back into the detail of these, but I wanted to remind you of them. That the first is told that he must leave everything. The second was waiting for better conditions and more security before he followed Christ. Those conditions do not come. That's what he wanted, though. More security and better conditions to follow Christ. The third wanted to follow, but he insisted on his own terms. Boy, that one just strikes near to my heart. That feels like I have had that before. I really want to follow Christ, but I want it on my own terms rather than His terms. And then John 10:3-4, we won't go there, but that's the sheep. It talks about the sheep, us, that follow Him. We know His voice. We hear the shepherd's voice. We recognize His voice. And we follow Him. And all of these are signs and circumstances around when Christ calls us to follow Him. And we looked at the example of the man that wrote that song, It Is Well With My Soul, and they were killed his children were killed in that shipwreck out in the North Atlantic, lost his four girls, were traveling over that very same spot where they were lost. The captain tells him this is the spot where they went down, and he doesn't crumple into a big heap. It doesn't mean he didn't love his daughters, trust me. But he wrote that song, It Is Well With My Soul. I do not believe anybody but a follower of Jesus could respond in that way. It was too late when the tragedy happened to then decide to follow Jesus. He was already following Jesus. And that was just a sign that he was following Jesus. And there was another song that was written called What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And part of following Christ is that abiding in Him, where we have that continual fellowship with Him throughout the day, where when anything comes between us and God, it's dealt with immediately. And we have this prayer without ceasing, this walking, abiding in Him, this friendship with Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that it's an easy road. It's not an easy road, but it's a good road. And if you are trying to follow Jesus while keeping your eyes on your own way, you'll lose your way. And, you know, if I could look into each one of your lives, well, kind of can, I know most of you pretty well, but I won't do that right here. You could identify specific things where you've been trying to follow Jesus, but you're hanging on to yourself in this one area, or these two areas. Usually it's one area that's evident, and you're trying to follow Jesus, but you're hanging on to this thing, and it reminds me of this ropes course activity that we used to do with groups when I worked doing that. And, there was this line, a cable. It's about this high off the ground, just a couple of feet off the ground. And you would face a person on a cable opposite you. And it wasn't like a distinct thing, but that cable was in a V. And it wasn't really that noticeable at first, but you kind of grab hands with the person opposite you, and you'd walk along the cable like this, and it was pretty easy. It went well at first. And if you were strong and confident, the other person was the same, and they would lean into you and you lean into them, you could really go a long way. It seemed like you were going to walk that cable to the end. But there was a limit to how far you could go walking the cable in that manner of leaning on that other person. Pretty soon, it's going to crumble. You're going to fall. And it kind of reminds me of, we are trying to, it's like that mirror image. We're relying on ourself. We want to go follow Jesus down this cable, but we want to hang on to this. And if we are a natural leader, if we are a person that is just sort of mentally tough, that we have a lot of discipline, it's going to seem like we get way out there. But unless we are surrendered and following Christ, we're going to fall. We're going to crumble. We're not going to keep going down the road that Jesus is calling us. So, whether you've not gone very far down the road of following Jesus, or you've taken an off-ramp, you have been following Jesus, but you've taken an off-ramp from following Him, you're no longer doing the things that you once did. That's a sign, you know. If you're no longer doing the things that you once did, you're no longer in the Word like you used to be in the Word, you're no longer in fellowship like you used to be in fellowship, and you no longer pray like you used to pray, something's happened. You're not following Jesus like you used to follow Jesus. Just read the symptoms. So, the things we're going to talk about will apply to whether you're just starting off or whether you've been at it for a while. God has a plan for you, but it's only going to take place if you are following Him. But He has a specific plan for you. So let's read a little more about what that plan involves. And we won't read that again. That's Jeremiah 29:11 that talks about the plans that God has for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. So let's go to another Old Testament verse, 1 Samuel 2:35. Here again, this is talking about, this is not talking specifically to you. It's talking about, in the Old Testament to a specific person. But we are all priests now. We are all, called for God's purposes. And we'll see some more how this, we'll see some New Testament verses, how these things do apply to us. I will raise up for myself a faithful priest, who will do according to what is in my heart and mind. I will firmly establish his house, and he will minister before my anointed one always. I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. And Romans 8:5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds on what the Spirit desires. And we just talked about Matthew 4:18-22, where Jesus was asking from them a core change. That they would do, say, think, live the things that are on God's heart and mind, not the things that are on their heart and mind. There is a core change. If you don't get anything else from today, then you need to get that. We make our decisions from a different place than we used to make our decisions from. So before we go down this road, I would like you to apply faith to this. I'd like you to apply faith to this message before we get very far into it. There will be different measures of faith in this room, and that's okay. Everybody's at a different place. But apply the faith you have, the faith that's been given you, or this will go nowhere. You will not discover God's plan for your life if you do not first apply faith. And that does apply to your children also, that you have to apply faith to them. And as Caleb and I have been reading through God's plans for him, as far as that God does have a plan for him, you know, for just a second I start to doubt. I start to think, well, what? You understand. What does God have for Caleb? And then I stop myself. And I think, this applies to Caleb as much as it applies to me. God has a plan for you, Caleb. And so we tell him that. And I believe it. And he will believe it too. I believe that he will. So God has a very specific plan for me. He has a plan for you, and he has a plan for each of us. But we must apply faith to that. To follow, we must trust. You don't really have to know where you're going, but you must trust who's taking you there. Does that make sense? That's your first step, to discover God's plan for your life, to walk in it, is that you trust the one that's taking you there, literally, on purpose, a specific act of trusting Him. First step to discovering God's plan for life. Being outside of God's plan for you equals failure. I don't care how much success you appear to have in your, even in your home, in your career, even in the ministry. I don't care how much success you appear to have, but if you are outside of God's plan for you, then you're failing. But if you are in God's plan for you, I don't care what it looks like, you are a success to be in God's plan for you. Now, granted, there are some types of failure that cause more damage to people around you and to you than other types of failures. Obviously, that is true. But for an hour or for a day, or in reality, it could be on a continual basis, we're not in God's plan for us because we haven't addressed core issues concerning a purpose change for our life. If we're going to be in God's will, if we're going to walk in the plan He has for us, we have to have a purpose change. In following Christ, there is a bond with Him. And we talked about this a little bit last week in following Christ. There is a bond with Him that supersedes, more important than, bigger than, better than all other relationships, situations, and attachments. And it involves taking up the cause of Christ at our core being. And you will recognize that when Christ says, come and follow me. It always involves taking up His core. You are not going to have a home. You know, where the foxes have homes, but you're not going to have a home. You're going to follow me. You're going to be, sir, you're going to be about what I'm about. You're going to be making disciples. You're going to be fishers of men. That was specifically what He was telling them. His main purpose will be our main purpose. And Jesus asked this early on. Too early, in my view. Who's wrong in that? Him or me? He asked it of people that were not even followers of Him yet. He asked them to leave everything. He asked them, told them they're going to be fishers of men. Your core, everything you're about is going to change. You leave everything and follow me. To people that were like, just starting out. So, I'm going to not be afraid then to challenge you in this to go to the next level. To go to the next level in following Christ. Because there is a next level for you. And there's the next level for me. Even though it took a while for His disciples to live this out, Jesus asked for it right away. It took a while for them to show up in their life in a consistent way. Faith is to follow through on this response. It's to follow through on this where Jesus says, follow me, faith is following Him. That is faith. Faith is not an insurance policy. It's not a way to get what we want from God. But faith is primarily to get and do what God wants. Faith is primarily to get and do what God wants. It's not getting what we want. Which means, if it's what God wants, then you can count on it. It means that we must go beyond ourselves to fulfill God's plan for us. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Notice He doesn't just give the strength to be content, to sit in one spot and be content. He gives the strength to do. He calls us to do, to take action. What are you attempting that you cannot do in your own strength? I'll ask you that again. What are you attempting that you cannot do in your own strength? Are you not taking stuff on because you can't do it? Or you're not even looking? What are you attempting to do that you cannot do in your own strength? With this background in mind, the things I just told you, because you could misrepresent or misunderstand this quote that I'm going to give you. But with this, all this in mind, I'll give you a quote from William Carey. William Carey, if you know of him, in the 1700s, he's called the father of modern missions. He was a missionary to India, made a huge impact in the country, in all of the country of India. I think of this one thing that stands out to me is this tradition that they used to do in this large parts of India, that when a man would die, if a man died for any reason, this is horrible, but they would burn the widow. They pile up a huge bunch of sticks, and they expect her to go voluntarily to this, and they would burn her. And through his witness for Christ, he stopped this tradition. It cost him dearly, but he stopped them from doing this in India. And I don't know how widespread that was, but he made a huge impact. And that was not the only thing, of course. He led many, many people to Christ. But this is a quote from William Carey. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Now I know, and if you know me, you know I know you could misrepresent that quote. But I think in the explanation we just gave, I think it's understandable. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. A central job of the body, the church, is to train, equip, and prepare each one to labor for the kingdom, to fulfill the call that's on their life. That's a very specific job of the church, to prepare each person to fulfill what God has called them to do for the sake of the call. The sake of the call is to follow Christ and to do all that God has prepared for them to do. That's the one major job of the church. Again, this means we must forsake all and follow Christ and take on His cause as our core so that everything else flows out of this core. It's getting in the yoke with Jesus. And let's read that verse, Matthew 11:28. Again, we're trying to get this flavor, mostly from the Gospels, of what it means here to follow Christ. Matthew 11:28. And you'll notice right before this Matthew 11:28, it's talking about intimacy with God. It's talking about knowing God. And then it goes into Jesus saying, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So to take on all this impossible stuff I'm talking to you about is resting in Christ. It's not being anxious. It's not beating yourself up. It's not striving. It's resting in Christ. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And now let's go to some verses in Ephesians that deal with this. God's calling on our life. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And 4:12-13. talking about the church here, specifically leadership at the beginning, but the church in general. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now this school, this training that you are in, it's not really like a school, it's more like a family. And we all know the patience and perseverance it takes to invest in children, to raise up, to prepare and equip them for life and equip them to follow Christ. It takes some patience because sometimes the growth is almost, you can't perceive it. It seems to be going so slow. But then sometimes it goes in leaps and bounds. And the same thing will be with us, at one another. We too must be patient. This is not, like I said, the feel of this school, this preparation is more like a family than it is like a school. But there is training and equipping going on. In verses 14 to 16, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And in many places throughout the New Testament, we won't go to this in 2 Timothy, but our work is compared to being at war. That it takes that kind of focus and that kind of sacrifice. If you look at the wars and throughout history, you look at individual battles throughout history, and victories come at a high, high cost. And they come through perseverance and sacrifice and a focus on doing the job at hand. And that's why Paul so many times compares the Christian life, fulfilling, walking in God's plan, he compares it to being a soldier. Now, you could be saying, or maybe you don't say this out loud, but you're saying, I'm waiting to be asked. I'm waiting for the call. I'm waiting to be asked to take on this. I'm waiting for the call. Well, I'm here to tell you, the call has already gone out. You've already received the call to go and make disciples. The call has been given. Come and follow me. Jesus says to you, go into all the world and make disciples. It doesn't say, let the world come to you, that you can sit home in your living room and wait for the world to come to you. It says that you go and do what God has planned in advance for you to do. You have to, at times, resting in Christ, yet take the initiative. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 1, 3 and 8 to make this point. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why are they working? Why are they laboring? Why do they need endurance? It's because they have taken on the purposes of Christ. They've taken those things to heart as their own purposes. And you see, they're not doing these things out of their own strength. They're not working, laboring, and having endurance out of their own strength. But they're doing it in dependence on Christ who lives in them. But they are working, and they are laboring, and they are having endurance because they have taken on the cause of Christ. Now you, as a part of this body, like I said, some of this stuff just applies just to you, just as a believer in the world. Some of this applies to you as a believer in this body. That you're somewhere along the path, if you're in this body, you're somewhere along the path of being equipped. We've covered a lot of ground, haven't we? We have. From firm foundations, think back. Maybe the first time you went through firm foundations. Through firm foundations, covering from Genesis through the Gospels. We've gone on from Acts and Romans through most of the rest of the New Testament. We've covered most of the books of the Bible. We've covered most of the themes of the Bible, from the disciplines to marriage and family to abiding to the purpose of the church, the devoted to, on and on. We've covered quite a bit of ground. We've had ladies' studies and men sharing together and retreats. We've had, obviously, Sunday morning. And we, I believe, in this body have used the tools given us to prepare and equip people for God's work. That is, the tools of the Word, of relationship, and prayer. Now, each of us have a responsibility to use what we've been given. Wherever we are along that path of being equipped, then we have a responsibility to use what we have been given. We will never do the works of God that He has prepared for us to do while we are wrapped up in our own lives. I do not want to face God having left out works that He had planned for me to do. And I believe that that is possible. God is sovereign. I know. But it says we can come in shame. We can come without the garments. We can come without all the rewards He intended for us to have. So, He has prepared for us works. But while we're wrapped up in our own lives, protecting ourselves from interference in our lives, we're missing out on the things that God is calling us to. So as a part of what we're talking about here, of following Christ, of fulfilling the things, of walking in the plan that He has for you, then we will also share the vision of this church, of this local body. We'll share who we are and where we're going and how we're going to get there, at least as far as we know. We certainly don't know all of it. But for as much as has been revealed to us, then we'll try to do a review of that. Upcoming, not today, but we'll try to give a review of that. And we'll even discuss some practical things like the possibility or the potential need or purpose for a building if we do need something like that. We'll discuss some of those practical things if that is a part of what God has for us. If we're going to grow, and I don't mean just grow like a big church, if you're going to grow spiritually and be used and be walking in God's plan that He has for you, then it will require thinking and acting differently. You can't just continue thinking and acting in the same way that you are and expect that you're going to fulfill the next step that God has from you. It requires a transition, a tack. It requires a change, taking some action. So try this. This is a practical example. This is a practical example. When you sit down on Monday to plan the week, you guys do that, right? Lori and I try to do this. But usually one of us is not quite ready. So this past week it was me. I wasn't ready for like 4 or 5 days. And we were needing to sit down and plan some stuff. But stuff happened anyway, even though we didn't plan. So, you sit down on Monday and you kind of think through the week, you know. You think through the things that your family needs and times for your family. And you think through maybe some recreational things. You think through your to-do list. You think through the things you all need to do and that I need to do. And I always have a extremely long to-do list that seems to never get done. But God has a to-do list also. He has a to-do list for the week. And you are His hands and feet to do that list. That's just, He could do it without you. Zap. It could be done. But He chooses to involve you. He is prepared for you. So when you think about the week ahead of you, I guess, are the purposes of Jesus at your core. When you think to plan your activities and your things for the week, the things you have to do, is at the center of that to seek God. Did Jesus do that? He sought the Father while He was here on this earth. To encourage the body and to reach the lost. We'll get more detail, but that's just to give you something to go on. That's at the core. Do those things shape my week? I'm not saying to neglect your family, but you don't spend all this time building a solid family just to be fat and happy with your solid family. It has a higher purpose than that. It has a next level. It has another step. When I plan my week, we are at the place, most of you have been equipped and prepared, that we can begin to say, as I plan my week, is God's purpose at the core for my every evening that I plan? For my weekend? Is God at the core of the things that I'm going to do? Am I to encourage the body? That doesn't mean that you wait to be contacted. That means sometimes you have to go. You have to initiate. But is God's purposes at the core? Those are the kind of things that Jesus asked. Those, do you see, when He said those things to His disciples, those are the kind of things He was asking of them. Change the way you think. Quit protecting your life. Give it up. Quit protecting your time and your possessions. Spend your money for Jesus. Spend your time for the body and for the lost. Make your core beliefs, the things that you do during the week should come out of this core. If I'm wrong on that, please catch up with me after the service and show me in the Bible where I'm wrong, because I'm off on the complete wrong track here. Because I'm thinking we got to live and act different if we're going to fulfill the things that God has planned for us individually and for this body. If we're going to grow, we have to make a shift. We can't just stay in the same rut we're in. We don't grow spiritually unless we make a step, we make a change. We have a different core. We operate out of a different core now. It's not our core anymore. It's Jesus' core. God has a to-do list for you next week. Are you going to discover it, or are you just going to go with your plan? And then have you, of course I know, you guys are so faithful. If we plan something, I talk to like pastors, different people, well, I don't know who's going, what? We know who's going to come. Everybody's going to come. Everybody's faithful. You know, people come, they get together with each other, with the planned things. I'm not getting on to anybody. But I think that we have some growth to do here. And then we operate out of a different core, every decision for the purposes and the sake of the call. I think you have to agree. That's the way Jesus called people. That was His call. He didn't rescue you out of a life of sin to sit home with your nice, content life that you now have because you've been rescued out of sin. Do you see what I'm saying? We get along, life is better now. We've been rescued out of the sin, the ravages of sin. But He didn't rescue you out of the ravages of sin to sit home and be fat and happy. He rescued us to fulfill His purpose and His call to take it on as our own. Like the parable of the talents in Matthew 25:14. There will be a day when we are asked what we have done with what has been given us. If you move on from here and you go on to another place in life, another church, you move on in life like happens, God will remember it like it was yesterday. He'll say, this is what you learned at South Jordan Community Church. This is what was invested in you. This is what taught you. This was the talent that was given you. Maybe it was just one talent. Well, what have you done with this one talent that's been given you? You may say, well, that's all I have. I don't have much. I don't have like other people. So I just hang on to it. That'll not do. That'll not do when we face Christ. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about entering heaven, okay? And you all know. Faith alone and Christ alone. You know, when after Jesus had spent those various year and a half to 3 years time with the disciples, training them like a family, equipping them, being friends with them, walking with them, preparing them, and equipping them. At a very intimate time, He introduced communion to them at the Last Supper. He introduced to them this idea of communion to remember His sacrifice that had not happened yet. But it happened at a very intimate and close time. But it was at the end of their training, and it was a time of preparation for the next step. Things were about to change for them. And it was kind of a preparation. And Maybe God's calling you. Maybe you've heard His call to that you need to do some transitioning. Put the calls of Christ and the purpose of Christ more at the core. Now, I would have to say that every single person here that I know, that I see that in your life already. You know, I see that. But I believe that God, He calls me to transition. I believe He calls me, I think He calls you too, to transition, put His purposes more at your core. And to do it, if you're not going to do it with joy, then don't bother. You'll make us all miserable. So if you can't do it with joy, then put it off for a while. It's got to be done with gusto. Love for Jesus. You follow Him because you love Him, not because He has a whip in His hand. So take this time of intimacy with Christ and let that be the preparation for your next step to follow Him and to begin this transition, the next step of taking His purposes and replacing some of your purposes with His. You have all this stuff you want to do next week. Well, insert His stuff instead of yours and see what happens. See what He does. He desires to do great things in your life, in you and through you, things you've never dreamed of. He is not limited by your limitations.